Yeah, big time. Number nine. Diamonds in my teeth. I got a lot of shine. Oh, yes, everybody. This is the DFS Army Dynasty Fantasy Football Show. I am Flex Matt. He is Brandon Adam. And joining us again, our fourth member, Mike Dickinson. Mike, welcome back to the pod.
What's going on, boys?
We love you, Mike. We miss you. We, you know, and now it's like crazy because all of a sudden Shane couldn't be here. It's like, you know, it's so difficult for us to get all four of us here. But Mike, man, we're getting our nuts on the table here tonight. We're going to do our final rookie rankings pre-draft here. We're going to go through quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and we are going to devoid the tight ends, because Brock Bowers is the only guy I think just really worth any relevance. Even JT Sanders, you know, I'm not confident that guy will be anything. There might be a couple sleepers in your third round, which is where you drafted Trey McBride a couple years ago, which we're really excited about a couple of those guys, but maybe you'll have to tune into a future pod for that. But we do still have Shane's rookie ranks here. But fellas, where should we start? Should we start with the QBs? And here's the thing. We were going to go top five. But I'm thinking we got to go top six in wide receiver and running back, because I think there's at least six great guys, and number six will be probably the area where, you know, we might differentiate on couple of these guys. And so where should we start? Should you just start at quarterback? And we're going to go one to six here. It's no surprise for me. I got Caleb Williams number one. Brandon Adam, I'm sure you also have Caleb number one. Me and you, if you want to follow back to our podcast, me and you have been going deep into the rookie content here, but now the floor is Mike's for his number one rookie quarterback this year. Pre-draft rankings, nuts are on the table. Do you move off of Caleb Williams, Mike? Is there enough reason to move off of Caleb Williams?
Pre-draft? No, I don't think that there is. It's pretty obvious going into the draft that he's going to be the 101. He's going to Chicago. I think that depending on where some of these other guys land, that could shake me a little bit off it. Sure. But this is a pre-draft show. He's been the nuts 101 since his process started. I mean, if he had come out last year, he would have been the 101. So there's no reason to take him off that. He's not, I don't love him as much as a prospect as you two do, but that doesn't mean that he's still not top of the board.
100%. We love him as a prospect. Brandon Adam, real quick on Caleb Williams. I mean, it's overdrawn at this point. I think the real talk is who might be our number two rolling in. But real quick, Caleb Williams, you're a USC guy. You've been battling anybody. You've been banging the drums loud. Give it to us here.
Caleb Williams, number one, brother.
Number Tuesday.
Tuesday, special teams, special players, special plays. All right. That's what Caleb Williams is all about. Caleb Williams is the modern day football player that we all want as a fantasy football, you know, expert. And we really want that guy with the rushing, and we really want the guy that can actually evade pressure and make plays. And honestly, playing within script is great, but when it's shit hits the fan, you got to have some kind of talent, and Caleb has that in spades when it comes to being in the pocket and be able to create and being able to set his base to get to deliver the ball to his, you know, okay wide receivers in the last year of 2023, better with Addison in 2022, better numbers in 2022 with the Heisman run. I just think Caleb Williams is it. We've been waiting on it. One-on-one, solid.
Well, let's talk about this. My own thing about Caleb to talk about a 101 is he's not necessarily a running quarterback. He is an evasion specialist. He can and will take. I mean, he's the guy that if you absolutely leave your backside uncovered, he's going to take it for 20 yards. But he's not the guy that they're going to necessarily run naked boots to. They may run naked boot, but it's more for an outlet pass to a tight end, a Cole Kmet coming over. He's not Jaden Daniels. He's not Lamar. But he does have some rushing chops. He's fast. He's quick to decide. And even on the run, he still has his eyes downfield. It's what we really like. I also don't think Caleb Williams is going to get out of the gate incredibly high. I know, Brandon, that you have debated that a little bit in our group chat about how Caleb Williams is going to end up, I think you said QB 4 or 5 to start next year.
By the end of the year. Yep. This time next year, he's going to be considered QB 5 easily, in my opinion.
Now, Mike, you just shook your head on that. Why'd you shake your head on that, Mike?
I just don't think that he is going into a place where he's going to be given, where he's going to get enough tools to develop, honestly. Like, I don't, going to Chicago, there's a it's a defensive-minded head coach. I don't know what kind of chops Waldron has. He brought the quarterbacks coach from Seattle with him. Obviously, you saw Geno Smith do well there, but Geno Smith did well the year that Canales was there, and then he fell off. I just don't know. And you look at these guys that have come out, that have done really, really, that have done phenomenally well. So everybody comps him to Mahomes, right? He's the next coming of Patrick Mahomes. He's Aaron Rodgers. Okay, fine. Even better, Aaron Rodgers. So he came out to an offensive-minded head coach, was allowed to sit under one of the all-time greats for 4 years,
sure,
with an offensive-minded head coach and an OC and a quarterback coach who have all gone on to be head coaches. That's not the situation that he's going to in Chicago. He's going to expect it to take the keys day one. And I don't know, honestly.
The one thing right now, versus guys back in the previous past, when these QBs coming out now are groomed from day one through high school. This guy has won at Elite 11 Academy in high school. He was the number one recruit quarterback coming out of high school. He was the number one. He went straight to Oklahoma, dominated as soon as he unseated Rattler. He's only delivered every single step of the way as number one. And brother, right now he has more passing chops than Jalen Hurts right now.
I'm not saying that he doesn't. I'm just saying that I question how coachable he is, and I question how coachable he is because of the environment that he's going into. I don't know. He's been coached by Lincoln Riley, and he's been coached by Cliff Kingsbury. He's been coached by two great offensive coaches. Sure. You know, you look at the quarterbacks that have come out that have been under Riley. You look at Baker Mayfield. You look at Kyler Murray. You look at Jalen Hurts, and you know, Hurts and Murray are two different kinds of quarterbacks. Baker has had a good college career, but I don't know. I got more concerns about him than you do. And you love him as a prospect. You've always loved
he's
him
a
as
professional.
A
professional. You guys been a pro.
I don't think that you can say that right now.
He's got more media than any prospect of all time.
Dude, the first game I put on, I looked at was the first game I put on was the Notre Dame game, and you look at him making those.
So what? One game about a guy that got.
If he's as good as you say he is, he shouldn't be making the mistakes he's making consistently.
Look at the line.
I agree. Okay, we'll stop this conversation right here because we're just arguing at that point. Yeah. But we all agree that Caleb Williams is the 101. Now, to what degree do we agree? That is where we differentiate here. Sure. Shane also has him at the 101. Shane, again, not here today, but we still have his ranks. Caleb Williams is in a spot to at least, if Brandon is correct about him, he should produce in year one. So that's Brandon's upside on his QB4 overall. I would probably lean the way of Mike saying that maybe he's probably sliding to 7 or 8 or 9, but I do agree he is a top 12 QB after year one. Now we get to our QB2. My QB2 still ends up being Jaden Daniels just for the rushing upside. I just think that there will be more manufactured runs. And also we've seen what Jaden Daniels can do with a high-end offense around him in college.
Amen.
He may not go to a system that has all those pieces around him like he was in college, but at least being able to show that when you do put a good team around him, he can produce. There is quarterbacks in this draft that don't have that still were able to produce or not produce. So based on the team around him. So I'd rather take a guy who I can see will produce with the team around him and has that rushing upside. Mike, I'll kick it to you first here. QB2, who do you got?
This is top five. This is interesting. I'm excited for this one.
So I'm going to stick with Daniels just because if you look at where he's projected to go, he's probably going to go to Washington. Washington has a relatively good offense around him. I mean, they picked up Eckler coming out of the backfield. They added Zach Ertz in their tight end room. They have a solid core of receivers. They still have Jahan Dotson, and they have Terry McLaurin.
We like TMC.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the defensive minded head coach, but they brought in Cliff Kingsbury as their OC. So I think that he can coach him up. And I think that he has that. We saw what these Russian quarterbacks can do when Richardson came out last year. Now, the thing that scares me about Gene Daniels is how slight he is. He's tall, but he is extremely slight. He has room to put on probably 30 pounds or so, but he's not coming out like that. And the NFC East is a tough conference to play in. So pre-draft, I hedge a little bit, but because of the rushing upside and where he's going to probably go, and the dude can throw the football. I mean, he has a hose at the end of his shoulder. So like he throws a good deep ball. We saw this stuff in Arizona State when he was there with Ayuk and some of those throws that he made downfield. I like him. I wish he was 30 pounds heavier coming out right now? Absolutely. Yeah, but, right? but you know, at the same time, we can't have everything. So I'll stick with him as my two.
Yeah. Okay, Brandon, I think I'm pretty sure you have Daniels number two, correct?
100%. We can move forward, yeah.
Yes, we can move forward. Shane also has Daniels number two. We get to number three. I think it's I think in the end it'll be pretty consensus right here as well. I think J.J. McCarthy is getting some love right here, but it is now starting to pull back as the consensus that it will not be him ahead of Drake May. I think I speak for myself. I think Drake May's got a ton of upside. Even, I watched this thing. I forget exactly who it was, but when you bet on his size and arm talent, it hits almost 100%. I mean, even if it doesn't hit on the top end side, like your Josh Allen side, it still does become fantasy relevant when you take the upside of size and arm talent. It's where it becomes a problem is when the size is not correlated to there. So Zach Wilson, you have arm talent there, but no size. It can't equal out here. Spencer Rattler, no size, some good arm talent there, not extreme top end arm talent. But when you come to a true top end arm talent guy like Jordan Love, which scared you for a while, a long while, but he was sitting behind a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? So it was tough, right, to kind of decide and see that. But when you see the size and the arm talent, you can easily bet on that. And at QB3, it makes it very difficult not to throw that down. Now, the issue is at QB3, where are you taking QB3? So quickly, Brandon, you got Drake May, yes?
No.
Okay, Mike, Drake May, number three?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Okay, well, never mind here. Brandon, I'll lean it to you first. QB3 in the class.
We probably have the same guy.
I have him in the same tier, okay? There, and what is going to propel my opinion is fit in the draft, okay? I think Michael Penix is the best pro style football QB, the best pro style deep ball thrower in the draft, hands down. I think if he's in the right system, I think he's going to be able to splash immediately and be a pro turnkey. Drake May, to me, still has some, I think he thinks he's better than he is right now. Like, I think he needs to understand how to play with stars and studs. And I think Penix knows how to do that and knows how to highlight those players. And I'm excited to see Penix. I just think he's a better thrower of the football, more pure. Even by the numbers, he's better. I just have Penix, but just the when he ran a 4.5, sounds like somewhere around the 4.5, that confirmed to me that he's athletic. I know he's 23. That confirms that he's athletic. I just think he's turnkey quarterback.
So, Mike, do you have Penix 3?
Yes, I have Penix 3, system agnostic. I don't care what system. I don't care what system he goes to.
Oh, this, man. Exactly.
This is pretty incredible. So, Mike, you're generally have some really crisp clean takes on this, but I'm incredibly interested to hear how you ended up Michael Penix QB3 in this class.
I just think that when you look at, he has a complete resume. He did it in Indiana. Mm-hmm. He did it 2 years in a row at Washington, took them all the way to the national championship game. And he throws a really, really catchable ball. He's operated within a pro system. He keeps his eyes downfield. He has a good base. He's had the injuries. He's had, you know, he's had the two ACLs and he's had the shoulder, but like he put up sub 4.5, you know, and we compile that with the fact that he throws a really, really good ball. And you listen to the way that his teammates talk about him, the way that Roma Dunze talks about him. He said he has always been there as a leader. And they say the same thing about Drake May, you know, but I just get, when you look at what needs to break May's way so that he can be a successful pro, he has the size, he has the running profile, he has the Josh Allen profile, but Josh Allen wasn't Josh Allen until year three, you know, and Drake May's Drake May's inconsistent. He, you know, his percentage numbers aren't great. He tries to throw the hero ball, not unlike Caleb Williams, but Williams throws a hero ball a lot better than Drake May does. So yep. I just think that when you look at these guys that are coming in, and the thing that might change this post-draft for some people is where Penix lands. So if Penix lands in Las Vegas, where he might sit behind Gardner Minshew, if they take him at 13, he's probably not going to sit. But like, if you give me Michael Penix in Minnesota, oh my God, just like he becomes my QB1 if he goes to Minnesota. So like, when somebody who has a range to jump up like that, almost agnostic of where he lands, like I think he's the best ready to go pro.
You comped him to Stroud. How you love the way he throws the ball deep like Stroud.
He likes the big stroking guys, dude.
I love guys that stroke big, dude.
I'm just telling you, Penix has been. Mike and I have been talking about Penix for about, I don't know, the last 3-4 weeks, and we've been excited about this pod because I knew Mike was going to bring the fire too with Penix, and it's exciting.
Okay, so I don't have Penix three, but I want to hop on this Penix conversation right here. The thing that I want to just softly keep in mind when speaking about Michael Penix is, just because the guy runs a 4.5 doesn't mean he's a running quarterback.
No. Okay?
I think we are slightly improperly valuing the speed of a quarterback in relation to the opportunities that he is going to have as a running quarterback. So if we look at him, Penix is a stud. We know he's a stud. Hey, and you know what? Our podcast may end up diverging because we're going to end up putting because we have four separate guys throwing rankings here, but then we will come out with a individualized rankings here. And I'm willing to concede the 3 spot to Penix. Very happy to do so. We also had this very same conversation last year where Bryce Young was our 4. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So trust me, we are definitely on the hype train, and my hat is blending in with the Matrix back here. It was by design.
It's awesome.
It was by design. Cool. Okay. It's blending with the Matrix here, but Penix, his deep ball is the best in the class. In my personal opinion, I don't care what anybody says about arm talent or arm strength of Joe Milton or anybody else that's going to throw this ball. Now, the issue with Penix is going to be the injuries. You're going to hear about that nonstop. Okay, he's had 2 shoulder surgeries, and a knee and some knee issues, basically mm-hmm. season-ending issues. So my issue is this guy's not going to run at all, but he can be just as effective with his arm at the next level. And if he now you say Minnesota. Here's what I want to ask a question is, if Minnesota moves up and it's not Michael Penix, do we value Michael Penix any more or less because another pro team decided not to take the chance? That seems sensible, right, Mike? I mean, yes. If somebody else takes the chance and it's not on Penix, and let's say Penix falls to 28 or something mm-hmm. crazy like that, do we still look at Penix post-draft as a 3? Or because you say he is system agnostic, Mike. I mean, so you put him in. Where could we put him to where we're not going to take him QB3, I guess? That's a good question. For a QB needy team, maybe not so needy, but I mean, I guess I can't really see a ton of opportunities where he would land where I'm not interested in him, depending on the quarterback battle that's there.
Maybe Seattle.
Even Seattle, I would probably say, like, you know, with the weapons around him, JSN, DK, kind of, I mean, that turns around and fit. So the thing I love about Penix is they've been comping a lot of the three wide receiver set in Washington this year to the three wide receiver set in USC that was there, the Drake London, Amon-Ra, Michael Pittman, right? So you have a Rome, a Jalen Polk, and a Jalen McMillan, and you can only facilitate something like that with a QB that can push the ball downfield. Now, you say Keaton Slovis, which was the quarterback for that team, was not that guy. Well, the reason why he's not that guy is because none of those guys went, well, Drake London went top overall, top seven, but Rome Odunze could be a wide receiver one in that, in any draft class, right?
He might be two.
We're going to get to that here. Okay. So does Drake May fall to four then, Brandon?
Yes. I'll take the upside at four. JJ McCarthy is even more raw to me. I think Drake May is even more polished than a JJ McCarthy. I think May, I comp May to Carson Wentz. When he was on, he's on. But, man, when he's off, he's off. And it looks bad when he's bad. And he gets rocked at ends of runs. And I'm worried about that at the next level. I think that same thing with Jaden Daniels. Not very good about actually getting down. So that's the biggest thing to me, is that he needs to be able to stay healthy. And I'm nervous about that.
Mike. Ruin this entire podcast and tell me Drake May is not four.
Now Drake May is four.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so Drake May four. Now, here's the thing. I understand you want to cup him to Carson Wentz and say when it's bad, it's really bad and all that stuff. But here's the thing. Josh Allen was bad his rookie year, too. I remember when we had a conversation with a very, very high-end dynasty analyst saying, hey, Josh Allen couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if given the opportunity standing 10 feet out. The very next couple of years, he ends up being number one overall dynasty asset.
It took him 3 years to get there, and with a trade with an elite talent to
but
to
he got the there. But he like, got
yeah,
there.
He got there. Yeah. And
okay, and because Drake May's he going to every the Patriots. Tool. Maybe Drake May could go number two. I mean, Jaden Daniels did hit the nuts at two for a long time there, but it still is swaying back and forth. I would not be surprised if Drake May goes two. So, Mike, Drake May, let's talk a little bit of positivity about Drake May, even though you passed him up at three.
He's big. He's played with guys that are playing in the league. He played behind an NFL quarterback in Sam Howell. So
a couple NFL quarterbacks. His dad was a coach, player. Yep.
And his dad's been his quarterback coach since the kid could walk. So he's been getting coached up since he was in his huggies. So you like that. And again, his teammates have great things to say about him. Leader on and off the field, great guy. You hear him in interviews, he's super composed. So I think that you'd feel better if he wasn't going to go to New England, just because who's he going to throw to? He's throwing to Nelson Aguilar.
I'm telling you, the quarterback that's going to the Patriots is going to be cratered for 2 years.
Yeah. Now,
well, just understand Patriots have opportunity to draft wide receiver high end second round. So it's not, you know, we're not still completely out of the woodwork for the late round wide receiver to be a trade up for the Patriots. I mean, we're going to get to our wide receivers here, but I specifically had Penix at five. I love Penix. I love Penix a lot, but I go Drake May three because of the size and the talent. I just don't think that with Penix or JJ McCarthy, you have that size and arm talent that you can really bet on, that you can blindly bet, even if the landing spots were agnostic or anything like that. I don't think you can bet on those two guys, but I had JJ McCarthy at 4. You guys apparently have him at 5. Is that correct? JJ McCarthy at 5. So my thing about JJ McCarthy, you can down him about his past opportunities in college. And that is about the only thing you can down him on. Because if you down JJ McCarthy for a single interception against Ohio State in the national championship game, or excuse me, against the in the game going to the national championship game, was it even Ohio State or Alabama? Excuse me, Alabama. That first play of the game was atrocious. I mean, essentially, he throws it right into the defender at the sideline. What was he thinking, right? And there's a couple plays like that on his resume, right? But then he comes back, leads his team to a victory, leads that team again to a national championship victory. The guy has a mind that is next level, coached by next level guys the entire way through, okay? Harbaugh says that he's the top quarterback in the class. Now, he could be, you know, he could be throwing smoke up guys' bums, but here's the thing. If the Chargers were at 5 and didn't have Herbert, they would happily select J.J. McCarthy, and we would be able to see, you know, what he could come up to be. Now it seems like guys are going to have to trade up for him. He's going to end up landing in a spot with Denver, maybe Minnesota. Maybe he just outright gets drafted by the Patriots or the Commanders. But Brandon, J.J. McCarthy, he's got some sneaky rush upside as well. I mean, the guy's a game manager. The guy's a game manager. 2 touchdowns a game, 250 yards passing.
Dude threw 9 passes against Penn State in the second half. Like,
that's what he was.
The guy was sheltered in his offense. They kept him very close to the vest. They did one simple reads with him. He can't throw a changeup. He can't get it over the top of linebackers. He has to have a direct line of sight for throwing the football. This is the type of guy he is. Yeah. Is he young? Has he been good with a good QB in the past or good coach with the past in the past? Sure. But I just see a lot of raw ability with him, but he's a guy that needs the coaching in a big way. Like if he was able to take the Jordan Love route, I get it. I actually get that option. But if you need to immediately put him in, I think it's going to be tough sledding if you don't have a solid elite run game to surround him with to be able to keep him safe. That's how I look at him. I mean, what do you see on tape? What do you think, Mike?
I think the ideal landing spot for him would be to go to Denver with Sean Payton. You know, you look at what Sean Payton did with a quarterback like Drew Brees. Drew Brees was an elite processor. And I think we just don't know enough about JJ to know how he's going to play at the next level. Like he wasn't asked to do a lot in college. So do we hold that against him or do we just assume that he can do everything? I think that he's got to add throws to his repertoire, or he's got to let people know that he has those throws in his repertoire. He's got to add those clubs to his bag. So like, you know, you look like
that's a great analogy. The clubs in his back, Mike, the different type of shots you need to make as a golfer, same thing as a quarterback, man. And I'm telling you, the field throws are shockingly not there to me. The direct beam it and drill them in the chest 20 yards down the field. Sure. On a crosser, he can hammer that all day long. You should be able to hammer that all day long if you're playing quarterback for Michigan. Like, that's just to me, like he does the little things, old school football. But when we're talking about modern football, it's gonna be a punch in the gut if he has to play next year. I'm telling you,
Roman Wilson. You know, a lot of talk about Roman Wilson is he's kind of one of these fallers. He started being up a little high because of the Senior Bowl and what he was able to do there. But now more and more analytics, as guys get into the tape, they get into the stuff, he's starting to fall down. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, Roman Wilson was his best asset in the passing game. Yeah. So what?
And Caleb Williams had Brandon Rice. That's going to go later than Roman Wilson in the draft.
It's Brandon.
What's it?
But he also.
Like what? Come on.
He also had Zachariah Branch, who was a true freshman, who's going to be drafted in top 5 overall right now. That's what a lot of people are talking about. So it's not like he was devoid of talent, But yeah, I get you and understand you. So right there is a pretty consensus rankings between the four of us. It looks like we got Michael Penix at five. We're going to move J.J. McCarthy, Penix at three, move J.J. McCarthy to five. And then we'll go Drake. I'll concede Drake May at three, move him to four. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
You can keep your personal ranks, baby. That's awesome.
Yeah, no,
like, if that's your flavor of quarterback. I just... You know what
I mean? You heard the individual rankings as we move on to running backs here. You heard the individual rankings, but we'll go and say that the consensus rankings end up kind of where we are. And I'm okay being a little bit aggressive on Penix. I like Penix, and I also think he's going to end. I mean, if Penix ends up going to the Raiders, sticks with Davante Adams to start his career, I think that's going to be great. And I think that if the Raiders show that they're able to go out and grab veterans like that, and we see that good veterans go for second round rookie picks, or second round draft picks, I think it's, you know, we can continue to build that team that the Raiders got there. They got a good defense, which is a rookie quarterback's good best friend, right? Some good edge guys going to attack the game there. So, okay, moving on to running backs here. I don't know if we should go one by one like we did, or maybe should we start with just one guy going there top five and maybe just kind of comment off of it. Does that sound okay for you guys?
That's fine with me.
Mike, do you want to start with running backs or you want to start with wide receivers? Because I can go ahead and bypass you.
No, I'll start wide receivers. Brandon can start running backs.
Brandon, go ahead with your top running back in the class.
The top running back in the class, people can move off of opinions based upon more things and more analytics.
Hold on. I want to give context to that. Yeah. Me and Brandon had a rankings podcast like this as we are first diving into it, which was great because we got some really great positive feedback of the guys that we did love. I still like those guys, but like you said, after the numbers start coming out, after you start to kind of see where chips may fall, go ahead, Brandon.
So number one, it's Jonathan Brooks, and I think he's going to be a Cowboy. The doctor in Dallas, the team doctor of Dallas, did the ACL reconstruction of Jonathan Brooks. I think they end up snatching him at some point in the draft. Then I got Trey Benson. Your comp to Mixon is on the money, like on the money. Can't get a better comp than that. The floor for him, for Trey Benson, could be what's that Alabama's running back that was a Buffalo Bill for a bit. Stiff up top too. And anyways, but Trey I'm Benson, right now. But Jalen Wright is my guy. The biggest climber in the draft for the RB position is Jalen Wright. I think he's the most explosive RB in open space in the draft. I think if you're going to be in this new age modern football era, I think you have to have splash plays and be extremely explosive as an RB, because most RB situations are 2-3 heads, right? So you have to crush it at a huge number when you are on the field for you to be impactful in fantasy football. With Jalen Wright, I think he does that. I think he leads the nation with over seven yards a carry in college football. Yes, he had light boxes, but I think in the right situation with modern football, in the spread offense and how in the shotgun a lot of these offenses are shifting towards, I think that fits him like a glove. I'm good with that. He has a lot of good fits.
You have him at three.
I have him at three. Marshawn Floyd is four. Floyd, I thought about the Arizona Cardinal there, Floyd. And then Brilliant Allen of Wisconsin is my five. That was my number one guy.
One to five, a precipitous fall.
One to five because he didn't run at the combine, man. You needed – I understand that he might have been hurt. That's the big thing, is that he supposedly has an ankle issue. That's why he didn't run. He looked – you know, that's just what happens with that. He weighed in at 235. That's what he weighed in as a freshman when he exploded onto the scene at Wisconsin. He is a converted linebacker. He never had a snap at RB until college. He was not supposed to be a running back when he came to Wisconsin. They changed him to running back because of how athletic he is. So I like him as a young high end, high upside, low floor kind of boom or bust prospect in a if he gets a high volume carry mindset, I think he could be successful.
Mike, go ahead. Hit maybe a little bit of differentials there. So Brandon had his number one as Jonathan Brooks.
Yep.
Number two, Trey Benson. Number three, Jalen Wright. I think we'll maybe start in that realm.
Yeah, I'm good with all three of those.
I'm absolutely not good with that.
Well, you don't have to be. I don't love this running back class nearly as much as some that have been out. And really, like, I think that these rankings are all going to change once we find where these guys get drafted to.
Yep.
In the situations that they wind up in, what these committees look like, who goes in a spot where they have an opportunity to be a three down back, who's going to go into a committee, what the role is going to play in the committee, and then how that's all going to shake out. So there's a lot more doing the rankings pre-draft. We all have the five guys that, you know, we're all the five guys that we all like. And it's really going to shake up once the draft comes.
So I will go ahead and I guess the top three, for me, I don't have Jalen Wright in my top six, okay. and I haven't liked him
from the beginning.
Haven't moved on it. I got Trey Benson number one. I think Trey Benson has everything that you're looking at from this class. The difference is this class is kind of weak. So Trey Benson being the top end of the class, that seems fine to me. He's got size, he's got speed, he's got ability. The only thing he doesn't have is production. Under 1,000 yards on a Florida State team that ended up being pretty good. Maybe the scheme just didn't work right for him. Maybe the line just didn't work right for him. I'm not too sure, but I'm going to go ahead and bet on the size, speed, with the ability to catch the football. With what I'm hearing is he's going to be a second round pick. I don't think he's going to stretch into the third round. So I think the opportunity is going to be there for him. Blake Corum, I got number two. I'm going to just put my nuts on the table and say that he is almost my number one. I really like Blake Corum. I think that he proved in an offense that you guys shit on JJ McCarthy for, it put the entire offense on the back of Blake Corum. They had a good running back that we will see coming out of the class next year. Not to mention other running backs left that team because of Blake Corum and continued on in other avenues and then ends up being NFL guys now. Sure. So Blake Corum, in my opinion, has everything that you're looking for as a running back except his perfect size. Now, can he end up being, you know, I forget the small dude's name that everybody talks about from back in the day, played Doug on Martin. The Jaguars. No, not Doug
Martin. Oh, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Maurice MJD. Jones-Drew, yeah. Can he be MJD? Maybe. I don't know.
No, you know, he doesn't run a 4.3.
Yeah, exactly. But that's why Marshawn Lloyd kind of comps to MJD a little bit more. You have Marshawn Lloyd at four, correct?
Yep,
four. I don't have him in my top six, so I have Jalen Wright and Marshawn Lloyd outside of the top six. Again, Marshawn Lloyd just ends up being a guy. Why haven't you seen it on this, you know, on this top end side? Like, why hasn't he been, why in a weaker running back class, how come a guy like Marshawn Lloyd that kind of speaks to everything you'd like as a running back can't just get into that top end area? It's because he's probably not the guy, you know, and I don't know what it is about him. But he probably isn't the guy. You look at a Blake Corum, ends up being the guy on a run-first offense, NFL offense. So I really like that. And then Jonathan Brooks. I mean, the problem is we don't know enough about Jonathan Brooks outside of Torres ACL in November. He's not going to play in the first year, probably not at least until December. They might roll him out a little bit. Maybe he ends up being a gem that the Cowboys or whoever drafts him can be utilize him later on in the year. But I'm willing to bet on him a little bit at three. The things I don't like about him: trap behind Bijan, trap behind Roshan, ends up comping more to Roshan than he does Bijan. And that's my problem. Okay. I like Roshan. I, along with many people who might listen to this podcast or friends that we have, got wrapped up in the Roshan Johnson love. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us did. I'm not going to get wrapped up in the Jonathan Brooks, Roshan Johnson with an ACL tear thing. I'm just going to go ahead and let him slide down the board. I'm not going to overdraft him. I'm not going to underdraft him. I'm going to let him slide to about 2.3. If I can get him at 2.3, I'm pretty happy with it, considering my top 20, you know, my top 15. I'm fine there. Mike, I think between you and I, this is where it starts to get a little bit different at 4, 5, and 6. So, Mike, go ahead. Who's 4, 5, and 6 for you? Because you agree that Jalen Wright's 3.
Yep. Give me Blake Corum at 4. Okay. And then five, Braylon Allen. And then 6, give me Ray Davis out of Kentucky.
Okay, so let's talk about this real quick, because I got Ray Davis at 4. Now, Mike, I'm going to let you have the floor here, because I've already spoke about Ray Davis before. I'd love to hear it from you. No interrupting. I like to hear it.
I just like what he's done. I like the way that he profiles up to the next level. Again, this is going to be a little bit dependent on landing spot, but the guy showed out at the Senior Bowl. He had a great Senior Bowl. He went over 1,000 yards from scrimmage at Temple. He showed out at Kentucky, and I just think that he's got a skill set that translates up into what the modern NFL is looking for.
Ray Davis and Trey Benson are pretty much, if you really were to put them in a vacuum, they'd be the Spider-Man meme. I mean, and that is like kind of a cool little thing, because they're bulky running backs. Okay. They have a very similar profile. When you watch them on TV, you could almost put the jersey of Ray Davis on a Trey Benson and say, that's the same guy. I think you can do that. That's why I love Ray Davis. To go 4, I think it's huge for me. Now you have him at 5 or 6. You have him at 6.
6.
So I think top 6 running backs in this class, bet on Ray Davis. You can get him in the 3rd round, I think, even no matter where he goes. I think he's a 3rd round pick. So, but we've all seen from Isaiah Pacheco that draft capital does not mean everything for running backs. I think running backs would take shots in dark, and the talent goes up. Do you guys know the story of Ray Davis?
No, but Ray, I bet you do.
I know a little bit of it. Okay. This is the kind of things that I like. Okay. And I may be not 100% on this, but Ray Davis and like 6 brothers and sisters were all at like they were adopted, like a home for abandoned children.
They were a group home.
Group home. And all 6 brothers and sisters got adopted individually. Okay, not to the same home. They all went to different places, all led different lives. And Ray Davis ends up being an NFL caliber running back, coming from different schools, having to transfer into different situations that may not be perfect for him, goes to Kentucky, ends up having a pretty good year, ends up being a guy that can get to the NFL from a situation like that. Man, I really love the fight. I really love to fight. Brandon, you know a little bit about having that fight in him. Is Ray Davis not on your top 6, Brandon? And tell me why.
No, I just like other guys better. I like Blake Corum better than him. I like Will Shipley better than him. I like who else do I got?
Okay, we're not talking about
Bucky Irving. I like Bucky Irving, what he does. I know he ran slow, but man, I don't want to be slapped again. When I liked Kyron Williams pre-draft, and then he ran a crap time. And I'm going to have some Bucky Irving next year. Ray Davis is great. I just don't think he's going to be elite. He doesn't have the athleticism I'm looking for that other guys have in this to me.
I agree with you on the athleticism thing. Like, he's not Braylon Allen. He's not a freaking he's not a robot going through the line that's unseen in size and speed. He's not a complete 3-down back like Blake Corum seems to be. I think Blake Corum can be a 3-down back, but I do think Ray Davis, when given the opportunity, he absolutely can crush it. And I think I'm willing to bet on that a little bit. We talked about Bucky Irving. Mike, he's not on your top five or top six. Is Bucky Irving anywhere near your top six, Mike?
I don't know. I don't think so. I kind of like some of these other guys a little bit down. Give me a little bit of Will Shipley. Give me a little bit of Dylan Lobby. Some of those
guys.
There
you go. That's a name I like, Mike. I like that one.
What, Shipley or Lobby?
Lobby.
Yeah. These guys are all kind of like, they're all kind of pushed down there to me.
It's so all, let's just say this, running backs are the most dependent on opportunity and team and scheme. Like, where they land, if they get the opportunities, a lot of these guys will be very productive. But, you know, like, we can't really answer rankings too much, but on the talent, I really don't see too big of a tier from the tier break for me. For talent wise is like so close with the RB position compared to like the wide receiver position this year. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
All right. Well, we will go ahead and move on to wide receivers, which will end and finish out this podcast here, because we are not talking about anyone but Brock Bowers. We love Brock. I have Bucky Irvin as my running back five. So I just will say I'm not going to quit the talent. Like you said, the Kyren Williams.
Dude, I got burned. We got burned last year doing that. It's just, yeah, you know, like,
And I was not in on Kyren Williams from the draft point. So that one was on me. I'm not going to be burned by seeing a guy who is a high end receiving asset. Even if he's slow, I don't care. Can he catch the ball definitively every single time you want him to? I think yes. Bucky Irving is my running back five. Mike, I'll give you the floor here. We got a top six wide receivers. We're not going to go one and two. Maybe we should go one and two because Brandon talks a mess about it. But go ahead, Mike. Top six, you can go first.
So one is Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that's pretty chalk at this point. Two, give me Neighbors. Three, give me Rome. And then four, give me Brian Thomas Jr. He's been coming on my radar. I've been watching a lot of his stuff. The guy just freaking produced and produced and produced. I see him kind of coming in as like a Mike Evans type, where he's just going to be, he looks like he's going to be an alpha to me for he could be an alpha for the next decade to come. Then we get on to five. See, this is where it starts to get a little bit dicey and a little bit tough. And this is where kind of the landing spots start to get you a little bit more. I think I'm going to lean in an AD Mitchell. And then after that, this is kind of spicy. I actually think I like Xavier Leggett way more than anybody else does. I think he's got a skill set that the NFL is going to be all over. And I've seen him all over the place, but I've seen him back end of the second round. I've seen him going Buffalo. Give me him in Buffalo. And that's just, I really like that. So I think that with where the opportunity lies for him, I think he could come in the back end of the first round, and puts him in top six for me.
Well, Xavier Leggett, a lot of people still semi have him to Buffalo in the end of the first round. I mean, if we're talking about a player that a team needs, Xavier Leggett seems to be a guy that the Buffalo Bills might really love. I got a comment right here. Master's shirt goes hard. That's Brandon Adam right here. We're all golfers here. I don't know if Mike is, but congrats to Scotty Scheffler, right?
Yeah, congrats.
Nice.
Big time. Congrats. Big time. So Brandon Adam, you heard Mike's top six there. Now let me hear yours and maybe where you differentiate from Mike's top six.
Mike, you and I can't be in drafts together. That's my six.
Exactly. You have Xavier Leggett at six.
I do now. I do. After everything, getting more comfortable with him with the 1 year production, I think he has freaky athleticism that I'm going to want to bet on. And it seems like teams at the end of the first are going to bet on that. And if that happens, then he has to be six for me. Has to be. And yeah, I'm right there with you. I had him at eight in the first show. I'm moving him up. I had Corey Franklin at four. He is behind. He's at seven now for me, behind Xavier Leggett. And that's how I have it right now.
Just to bring Shane back into this conversation, because I completely spaced him on running
back. This is it. This is what we got to do with Shane. We got to talk about Shane's rankings.
So our top three is consensus. Rome, number three. So Shane has Xavier Worthy, 4, Brian Thomas Jr., 5, and Ladd McConkey, 6. I don't think anybody has a problem with Ladd being 6 from one of us.
I do.
He's not my 6. He's not any of our 6s, but he seems to be 6 from Shane, and I can appreciate that. But Xavier Worthy, Mike, we talked about it this morning on the group chat. Go ahead. Xavier for 4 from Shane, ahead of Brian Thomas Jr. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
He's fast. I mean, he's not even the best receiver on his college team, so why should he be wide receiver 4? Like, he's fast. He's going to be overvalued by the NFL, which means he's going to be overvalued by fantasy managers, but he's super, super slight. He's like 6'1", 160. And regardless of what you say about he has a great route tree, he has this, he has that. Like, the Devonta Smiths are the exceptions rather than the rule. Devonta Smith has phenomenal hands. Devonta Smith knows how to win at the line of scrimmage. I think that Xavier Worthy is going to get
Devonta Smith won the Heisman.
Smith won the Heisman. He's got the pedigree. I think Worthy's going to get destroyed at the line of scrimmage by these guys playing press man. I think the first time he goes over the middle, he's going to get blown up. And, you know, we talked about him being a Marquise Brown, a Hollywood Brown type guy, and I think that's a good comp. I think that, you know, I think DeSean Jackson is in his range of outcomes. I also think that John Ross is in his range of outcomes. And John Ross is I think he's out of football at this point in time. So, like, I think that those guys get juiced up because of the numbers they put up, and I think that it's a fool's errand chasing that.
I want to throw some numbers here. Xavier Worthy success rate versus press per reception perception is below 60%, 59.5. That's not good at all. That's like 44th percentile.
Yeah, he's not going to line up against press.
Success versus double, 36% of the time. He's not going to be a number one. Success versus the zone, he's middle of the road. Six at 80%. Success versus man, 68.4%, middle of the road. He runs. I just don't see where he's going to succeed as a number one wide receiver. If you're saying he's number 4 in your rankings, that means, especially in this class, when you're passing up guys that have the profile of an Adonai Mitchell, of a Brian Thomas Jr., 17 touchdowns last year. I mean, that is, you're overlooking some big time upside with those guys that can grow into major, major roles. Like, for example, success rate against press for Brian Thomas Jr., 73.9%. Much better. Actually can get off the line of scrimmage. Adonai Mitchell, 74% against the press. Okay, this is where you're at. How about Malik Nabers, 72%. Marvin Harris is 78%. Ricky Parasol, your favorite, 67%. Like, Xavier Worthy is nowhere near the wide receiver that he's being comped at. How about this against the press? Ladd McConkey, 44% success rate. That is not good enough. Not good enough to be a wide receiver 1. And if you're going to be a wide receiver 1 in fantasy, you're going to have to succeed against the press. You're going to have to do it in the zone, and you're going to have to do it when you're doubled. And I don't think Xavier Worthy has it, or Ladd McConkey has that in them to do that.
Well, I think it's also a little bit, before I get into my top 6 and then we'll end this pod.
Sure.
It's very possible that Shane's at 4 with Worthy because he's not as high on BTJ. You know, a lot of guys. That's something that we'll have to discuss. I mean,
yeah.
Brian Thomas Jr., the way he runs routes is not aggressive. He is not a body route guy. So when you're lining up as an X, but you essentially are also not very good against, well, I wouldn't say he's not good against press, but his way of defending press.
I just gave
press,
you the numbers.
Yeah, but we're talking college level press corners. So we're not talking about NFL level press corners where it seems like Brian Thomas Jr. has this kind of lean thing that he does. And at the college level, that may work. But when you're getting bodied up by a guy that's 6'3", I just don't think he's going to be able to do the same things he can do in college. But that's not a big deal. I can just theorize why Xavier Worthy can find himself open downfield because he's super incredibly fast, and he also is somebody that you can scheme to be open and to not be against press coverage. Go ahead, Brandon. I see you're itching.
What is the upside comp for Xavier Worthy? When we were talking earlier, names like DeSean Jackson, Marquise Hollywood Brown.
I think neither of those guys were wide receiver one. I think it's Stephon Diggs is his upside comp.
Whoa. Okay.
I'm not saying that's what I say he is. I just am going to give you an answer to your question. I think it's Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs was the 5th-round draft pick. He was a small guy.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, it took him 3 years. It took him 3 years to get going. So
it may take some time. And if he can learn the nuance of the next level, then he might be able to dart past these guys, to be seen downfield and get open. So my top, Marvin Neighbors Rome, we know that. I have completely flipped on my 4. I think A.D. Mitchell's the guy that's going top 15. I think A.D. Mitchell is going top 15. I've been thinking about it for a long time, and what concretely got it for me was the Establish the Run podcast that they had with Adam Schefter. They asked Adam Schefter, who's a guy who's a guy that's going to have the most variation in where everybody thinks he is. I already had AD moving up over Brian Thomas just because of the size and the way he plays. But then when Adam Schefter says, hey, AD Mitchell's a guy that you're mocking at 28, I think he's going a lot earlier. Then I look at the way AD plays, and I look at the way CD played coming out of college. I think CD is a much better wide receiver coming out of college, but I do think that AD can play to that level. The other thing about AD Mitchell is he's on record in saying he does not run routes full speed. Now, does he not run routes full speed? Mike, we're going to get you here. I got you. Mike's going to go ahead and leave. Mike, see you later. I'll go ahead and end this out. But does AD Mitchell not run full speed because he can't, doesn't know how, or because he has the tools to dial his game back to jump up for balls or to make sure that he's running things with success instead of speed? I don't know. Can he be coached? I think so. I think that's the difference. Is he was able to go from a top five NFL or a top five college team over to a top five college team, was just as productive moving to both teams. He doesn't have the high end. He didn't have Jaden Daniels. He also didn't have somebody on the other side. I mean, Xavier Worthy was on the other side, but imagine if you had Neighbors on the other side of AD Mitchell opening up some things. Now, CeeDee Lamb doesn't need nobody on the other side. Okay, so can AD Mitchell transcend to CeeDee Lamb? I'm willing to bet more that AD Mitchell can transcend to a CeeDee Lamb over a Brian Thomas Jr. can transcend. Brian Thomas Jr. is a little slender. He is able to beat a lot of coverages. He is able to get behind a lot of coverages. So, like, that's the thing about Brian Thomas Jr. is if he lands in a spot with and a lot of the nuts, hold on. Shane's going crazy in the comments here. Brian Thomas Jr. does one thing very well. Worthy can do it all.
The numbers disagree with you.
And how often do they actually have press coverage? So that's the thing. They would have an extreme amount of press coverage on Worthy if he was lining up as an X. He's not going to line up as an X. He's going to be a move wide receiver.
But Worthy wasn't top. He didn't perform at an elite level even when he wasn't being pressed. The numbers are the numbers. We can kind of, it's just, he's super electric. I think I'm going to send you some of these numbers. I want you to take a peek at them. It's hard when you watch a few games and you get a taste of what they are, but when somebody charts every single route and it tells you, you know, like when he's winning and when he's not, and Brian Thomas Jr. is winning at a better rate, at a high, much higher rate than even A.D. Mitchell in a lot of areas. But hey, this is all about projection. Hey, if you're telling me Xavier Worthy is going to be the next Tyreek Hill, all right.
Yeah, but that's not – I don't think that he's anywhere near that comp. I think the comp more lies with the Tank Dell. And so we
Tank have – Tank Dell's such a better route runner than him, though.
I agree with that statement, but at the same time, is it more about route running that allowed Tank Dell to get open, or was it scheme, or was it situation, or was it quarterback? Now, if you're a Xavier Worthy guy, you will easily rely on the fact that Quinn Ewers is not C.J. Stroud. Right. So it's like, okay, right there, you already kind of changed the game. Two, and we saw it last year with the Eagles. Devontae Smith, when A.J. Brown was out, Devontae Smith had to play the X role, performed terribly in the X role. Not an X receiver. And actually, when lined up on the line on the opposite side and played a semi X role, not in the slot, he also didn't do very well. If you put Devonta Smith in the slot, I think he'll be more successful. If he plays primarily in the slot, he'll be more successful. That's where, like I said, the high-end comp for Xavier Worthy is Stephon Diggs, because if Xavier Worthy can play on the outside, his speed, and if he is a good route runner, should lend to a type of play skill that Stephon Diggs has. Yeah. And that is something where we can see. So, for me, I got A.D. Mitchell at 4. I got Brian Thomas Jr. at 5. I love Brian Thomas Jr. I was real early on Brian Thomas Jr. saying that I thought maybe he was a little bit ahead of Malik Nabers. You backed me down on that. About the only wide receiver take I've allowed you to incorporate into my mind, okay? But I think where we differ on is number 6, and number 6 is Ricky Pearsall. I think
I knew you would put him that high.
Ricky Pearsall is a dog. I don't care what you say about Ricky Pearsall. I am drafting Ricky Pearsall no matter where he goes. Your 2.01 should be Ricky Pearsall in every single format. I don't care where Ladd McConkey goes. I don't care how many wide receivers are ahead of him. Ricky Pearsall is a dog. He makes
and the numbers back you up, dude.
He makes bad quarterbacks look good. He runs every route well. He has decent size in comparison to a Xavier Worthy, a Tank Dell. He can play outside. He can play inside. Ricky Pearsall, to me, profiles more of a Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, than he does somebody like Josh Downs. And Josh Downs had an incredible year. People shit on it. But I think you should go buy Josh Downs for a third-round pick this year. I love Ricky Pearsall. I don't care. I think Ricky Pearsall is going to hit in the NFL. I think his route running, I think the decision-making in his mind, I think the fact that he is a dog. He will go up and get that football. It is his, okay? That's different. A.D. Mitchell goes up and gets it, but because he didn't put himself in the right position, or Brian Thomas, same thing. I think Brian Thomas is more electric after the ball is caught, which is why I don't love when Mike said that Brian Thomas is a Mike Evans type, because Mike Evans is not a run after catch guy, but he is an alpha, and I can understand where he went alpha to alpha there, because I do believe that he can also play the X. I just don't think he's CeeDee Lamb. I think if Ricky Pearsall really gets a chance, Chris Olave is on the top end comp. Tyler Lockett. Is up there. I think he's a better Tyler Lockett. What do you think about that?
I like it. He was 75.8% success rate against man, 82% against zone, success rate against double coverage, 57%, against the press, 67, middle of the road. The guy can ball. Like, he can run a bunch of different routes. He is a savant. You're right. I like him a lot. He can play on the outside. That's what separates him. He can play inside, outside. He can do it all. I agree with you. I don't mind. I'm not going to push too hard on
that. The other thing I really like about dynamism right? We talk about dynamism in our in what we do here. When you look at this wide receiver class, and we know it's so good.
Yeah,
I look at how many plays can I look at where it's like, oh my gosh, there is not another soul on the planet Earth that can make those type of plays. You've got it from Neighbors. You've got it from Marvin Harrison Jr. Once you get to Rome, AD, Brian Thomas Jr., those three guys, they play by a physical skill set that does not necessarily lend to complete dynamism, but their separation, their speed, the ability to go over the middle and win, the ability to house things and just win. That's all great. We love those guys, right? Then you get to that next tier, that Roman Wilson, that Ladd McConkey, that Xavier Worthy, that Ricky Pearsall. When you look at the dynamic catches these guys have, I think Ricky Pearsall's dynamic catches are incredible. I think he's got the most incredible catch on tape. This is rivaling Odell Beckham's catch on tape. Mm-hmm. One hands it in a triple coverage. Go watch it. It's elite. You can find it.
You saying that he snatches everything and doesn't drop the ball? The numbers back you up again. Literally drops the ball only 1.4% of the time. That matches Marvin Harrison Jr. Ladd McConkey didn't drop anything. Roma Dunze didn't drop anything. You know what Xavier Worthy's drop rate is? 6.8%.
Much.
6.8%. Okay. So that tells me some stuff. Brian Thomas Jr. is only 2.9%. Yeah, even Keon Coleman only dropped at 2.9%. So I hear you. I love Pearsall. I moved on him quite a bit. He's up in the top nine for sure now for me.
All right, Brandon. Well, I really appreciate it. I know Mike had to run. Let me see if this works here.
Yeah, you will take your chances.
I know.
I'm going to take my chances this year with these class, especially with the wide receivers and the quarterbacks. We're going to take some chances this year, Brandon. Mm-hmm. So final thoughts. What do you got for us here?
I think just try and get in this draft as much as you can. I think you can replenish some reserves at the wide receiver position. I'm just excited for the draft because it's going to shake up a lot of this stuff, because we can say they're talented all we want. But when they get drafted is when it makes it real, and the roles can be kind of somewhat, you can figure it out things, and then things change. But this is fun. I'm excited. There's been some movement already pre-draft after the combine, and it's been fun to watch.
Maybe before we leave, can you give us one draft take that you have, like real NFL? This ain't fantasy football. One real NFL draft take that you may have.
I think do everything possible to draft the top three wide receivers.
That's not what I meant.
That's what I'm saying.
A real NFL draft take. I'll give you mine.
Oh, like who's going where? Who's going
where? Well, yeah. So I think Mitchell's a top 15 draft pick. So that's a unique take. That is my take. I think he is a top 15 wide receiver, and you'll see it on draft day. What's one you got?
I think Brian Thomas is a top 10 wide receiver drafted. I think the Jets are a good spot for him. I think that's where they're going to end up leaning instead of going Brock Bowers for Aaron Rodgers. I think that's one. I think Roma Dunze is going to get buried and go to the Chicago Bears, and he's going to be put on ice for a year.
Yep, that's tough. All right, everybody, thank you for joining in. We are the Fantasy Football Podcast on the Dynasty side for DFS Army. You can follow DFS Army at dfsarmy.com. We are winning life-changing amounts of money over there on the daily side for Brandon Adam, Michael Dickinson, and Shane Seely. That's, we call him Flex Shane here. He is Canadian. He couldn't make it because there's probably some winds.
They don't have internet out there in Canada. I don't
know. Yeah, it's like they must have some crazy things. I'm Flex Matt, and we will see you next time.